tumultuous news from the US this week, that the US president has been formally impeached by the US House of Representatives, the third US president in history to be impeached. And I imagine you can bet that somewhere already a Hollywood screenwriter is beavering away, making a film about the Trump era. And so one of the questions this hour we want to ask is, who will be cast as Trump in that unavoidable depiction? 0467-922-702 is the number to text in on if you have a suggestion. We'll speculate if you have any ideas. Now, US presidents, I think, are very much more deified in the US, maybe more so than the way we see our leaders here in Australia. And these modern-day emperors often make great movie characters, often make for great cinema, often make for cinema that maybe is not as historically accurate. Maybe it's a little embellished, usually with a political bias. Well, tonight we're looking at the way US presidents have been portrayed on the silver screen. And joining us for this discussion is Matt Roden, Creative Project Manager at Sydney Story Factory and film critic. Matt, welcome to the show.
G'day. Thanks so much for having me.
So we already have a text in about the Donald Trump casting.
Fantastic.
James from Melbourne reckons Kevin Spacey.
Wow.
Now, I don't think Kevin Spacey is going to be getting a lot of work anytime soon.
He has certainly dropped off the radar since the allegations have come out against him. And I think that is reasonable.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable too. But in an alternative universe, he's already established he can play a president, but maybe he's too associated with an evil president that he couldn't play Trump with kind of clean hands.
Sure. So we know him as Frank Underwood of House of Cards. He also played Nixon, which maybe we can talk about later. But look, I don't think I even want to think about the combination of what Kevin Spacey brings with his personal life and kind of the horrendous things that he's been accused of, and then mix that into a cocktail with the same sort of ingredients that Trump is bringing. That's maybe like two things too many.
Yeah. I think that's fair enough. Okay, so do text in your suggestions, though, and also text in your favourite performances of presidents from film and television, or perhaps your thoughts on fictional presidents. There have been a lot of fictional presidents, some good, some bad, and that's where we're going to begin. So we're going to go first to a seminal fictional president, maybe one of the more heroic fictional presidents ever to be seen on screen. I'm talking about Harrison Ford as President James Marshall in Air Force One. Matt, the plot of Air Force One is pretty simple.
Yeah.
The president's on a plane, his plane, Air Force One. He gets taken over by terrorists, and it's up to the president to save the day.
Yeah, luckily in this one, the president is an ex-Marine, and therefore has a certain set of skills that he can bring to saving the day.
Yeah, he's like Liam Neeson in Taken, but he's perfect for being the president saving Air Force One.
Absolutely.
And the film, I don't know if it suggests what party he's from. It sort of doesn't really go into any political... It makes no political comment, apart from the fact that the president is a hero.
No, he doesn't have a lot of time to talk about, you know, what his views on the budget are. certainly, like, when it comes to being shown up by a bunch of terrorists in the middle of the air, your views on gun control might change based on the circumstance, no matter which way you fall on party lines otherwise.
Sure.
So I think in this case, it's almost an apolitical performance.
But... let's hear a little bit of him from the film, and we can get a sense of kind of, well, if you haven't seen the film, this is a good idea of the tone of it.
Never again will I allow our political self-interest to deter us from doing what we know to be morally right. Atrocity and terror are not political weapons, and to those who would use them, your day is over. We will never negotiate. We will no longer tolerate, and we will no longer be afraid. It's your turn to be afraid.
And then not long after that, when he has his confrontation with the terrorists...
Get off my plane.
Harrison Ford there as the President of Air Force One. Matt, can you imagine a film called, I don't know what the Prime Minister's plane in Australia is called.
Oh, do your research, Mark.
I should do my research first, but a film about an Australian Prime Minister.
I think it's called The Tinny.
The Tinny. That's a good name for it anyway.
Yeah.
The plane that Scott Morrison flew back from Hawaii on today could be called The Tinny. But Can you imagine a film like that being made in Australia about an Australian Prime Minister?
I think it is really hard to think of, maybe in a way that we think of a generic American president, thinking of a generic Australian Prime Minister. Because obviously what goes down on a plane, depending on the Prime Minister we've had in the past, is really, really different. So like how Bob Hawke tackles a bunch of terrorists.
I'd like to see that film.
It has a different feel to, say, Malcolm Turnbull, and obviously a different feel to Julia Gillard. And You know what? I'd watch all three.
if you're a screenwriter out there, it's a good idea. But this film, I understand, has been an inspiration to real-life presidents.
Yeah, this is actually one of Donald Trump's favourite films about presidents. He's been asked this since he became president. What are your favourite fictional or, you know, representations of presidents on screen? And he said that he liked this one, the one with Harrison Ford when he's on a plane, which is great. He also said that he loves Harrison Ford, and not just because he rents my properties. Trump never being able to help himself from being Trump. This news did get back to Harrison Ford, who said that he would like to pass on to Donald that this is just a film. It's not real life. He's not sure whether he knows the difference, which I don't know whether Harrison Ford knows the difference these days.
That's cruel. I mean, I have to say, you know, we're an unbiased program, but some of the texts we're getting in about who should play Donald Trump are cruel. I'm not going to lie. We're getting Bozo the Clown.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting Alec Baldwin, of course, famous for his portrayal of Trump in Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
We've got Roseanne Barr.
Well, I think a Trump supporter, and Trump is likewise a fan of her, so maybe he wouldn't be upset about that kind of what we might think of as unconventional casting.
There you go. Well, that was a suggestion from Scruffy in Bernarkin in Queensland. Leo in Hobart reckons Mike Myers.
Okay, well, look, he's known to be a bit of a chameleon. He can do different things. He's a Canadian, so maybe it's interesting to have someone from outside of America put a spin on an American president.
Okay, well, let's turn now to another film about the US presidents. Well, this one it's a film called Dave. Briefly summarize for us the plot of Dave.
Dave is about a guy who works at kind of like a temp agency, and he also rents himself out in his spare time to be a president impersonator. He's played by Kevin Kline, and he happens to look exactly like the president, also played by Kevin Kline. When that president is unfortunately has a stroke, they bring in Kevin Kline, the impersonator, Kevin Kline, this, you know, average civilian schlub off the street, to be the president. And because he has some ideas of his own, because he's a good guy who wants to, you know, fix the system, he starts talking outside of the script that he's been given by his handlers and making some big changes in America.
And is this kind of, I suppose it's a fantasy where in America the dream is that anyone can become president. I mean, that's a dream in Australia too, but the idea, any schlub off the street could be president. People often say, I wish I could have a beer with the president, or I like a president who I could feel like I could have a beer with.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Harrison Ford definitely has that vibe. I think you could have a beer with him. Kevin Kline absolutely has that vibe for me. He's someone I would love to sit down and have a drink with. And he brings, like, a lot of humanity and life to that performance. Even though, you know, obviously it's a fantastical film. And, yeah, I would be really worried if anyone could just kind of pop up in the White House and start redesigning the budget, which is what he does in the film.
Right.
He changes the entire federal budget to save one homeless shelter, which is a lovely gesture and possibly impractical.
Yeah, possibly needed more advice from the handlers, or possibly just implement a system whereby all homeless shelters across the country are getting equitable funding.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, we forgot to do it with Harrison Ford, but given Donald Trump has become the third real president to be impeached, we wanted to see if these fictional presidents deserve to be impeached or not.
Okay. So
we had Harrison Ford, and his character was called James Marshall, President James Marshall.
So impeachment comes down to high crimes and misdemeanors, which, as we know, is not a legal term, but it's like a broad term which we have to, like, interpret. Maybe not us, but certainly Congress and the Senate in America at the moment are trying to work out what this means. And there's differing ideas. Now, the high crimes and misdemeanors that might come up against Harrison Ford in Air Force One, he does kill quite a few people.
And that's a crime in most countries.
Yeah, it is. And still in America. Although Trump did say, you know, I could walk down Fifth Avenue and shoot someone I wouldn't be arrested. So maybe he's basing that on the Air Force One defense.
Okay, so I think the US public would have been behind James Marshall when he landed. I don't think there would have been many calls to impeach someone who'd single-handedly
stopped a terrorist attack?
Yeah.
I think he's off scot-free. He's all good.
Okay, so President James Marshall, we're deciding not to impeach James Marshall from Air Force One. What about Dave?
So at the end of Dave, the character of Dave, still playing the president, decides that he shouldn't be doing this job. The vice president should step up and do it. The vice president has kind of been A whole bunch of scandals have been dumped on him. It turns out that, I'm not going to spoil all of it, but there's a lot of maneuvering going around with who's in charge of what and who's actually a scandalous figure. The president decides to apologize and resign, and then Dave runs off into the distance before anyone can really recognize that he's not the president in the first place. I actually think Dave, whilst his heart is in the right place, is kind of doing a lot of stuff which we didn't want him to do. He wasn't voted in. He doesn't really have the authority to rewrite the federal budget or to pardon himself, and yet he does all these things.
And it's identity theft, straight up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like Dave from the film Dave may be up for impeachment.
Yeah. This was actually one of Obama's favorite representations of a fictional president.
Is that right?
I read an interview with Kevin Kline, I think on the 25th anniversary of Dave, where he said that he'd met Obama and that he'd said that he loves Dave and that he watches it when he's depressed. When he was depressed in office, because he loved seeing how Dave made the job look easy and fun.
That's a nice... What, is it a nice story?
I don't know. But it is really funny to imagine any president feeling depressed and then putting on a movie about a president. And a fake person being the president of that.
It does say a lot about Donald Trump and Barack Obama that one watches Air Force One and the other watches Dave.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like when we listen to that clip of Air Force One, all that music that was happening, all the kind of thunderous, patriotic, that's, you know how Trump would often have an earpiece and we'd think that's for, you know, his security team to talk to him. I think that's just what's playing.
The soundtrack of Air Force One.
Yeah. He's scoring himself in his act of being president.
All right. Let's hear a little bit of Kevin Kline in Dave. So this is Dave being introduced to the presidential podium by Frank Langella's character.
Alan has worked out a sort of a training program.
Great.
This is the briefing room, where the president holds most of his press conferences.
Now, this may seem a bit strange at first, but even professional politicians have some trouble getting used to all the cameras and the...
Teleprompter.
What?
Teleprompter, is it hooked up?
No, I don't think so. As I was saying, nobody expects you to be Bill Mitchell overnight. The most important thing to remember is his general presence.
Presence.
Right. Now, whenever he stands at a podium, President Mitchell always has one hand in the pocket of his coat.
That's at a press conference. Otherwise, they're almost always on the podium.
No, I'm not certain about that.
Oh, yeah, don't you remember the convention speech? An America stronger than the one we were given. An America prouder than the one we found. There. Right there, on the podium. Except on America when he points.
You know, that is very good.
Oh, I love that speech.
So that's a little bit of Dave. So we're deciding that Dave, for all his heartwarming attempts to be a good president, impeached.
Absolutely.
Okay, now we have another text in saying on who should play Trump, and Tony from Melville reckons Tom Cruise would be a good Trump. Tony reckons similar-sized egos, red hair, same height. Are they the same height?
Trump's actually pretty tall, and Tom Cruise notoriously shorter than we ever get a chance to see him on screen.
But Tony reckons there's an incredible resemblance and similar worldview.
I think you've got two people who've been in both the public sphere and then lost within their own sphere for maybe a similar amount of time. So I can see that there's something about the way that they might walk through the world and assume that they were the center of the universe. I can see a comparison there. I kind of like that.
And we reckon that another texter says that in a lot of films, they reckon there's more parodies of presidents than there are actual portrayals of presidents.
Mm-hmm.
So when people play real presidents, they often take a parody. We're going to get to real presidents soon. You're listening to Nightlife. Mark Sutton is your host this evening. My guest is Matt Roden. We're talking about portrayals of US presidents in film, both fictional and real presidents. And we're talking about who would play Donald Trump when they inevitably make the film. 0467-922-702 is the film to call. Moving on to our next fictional president, Jack Nicholson as President James Dale in Mars Attacks.
Yeah, so, you know, this is less about what it is to be a president and more about what it is when the Earth is attacked by aliens. But Jack Nicholson, who I think is kind of maybe not the casting we would assume you would have for a president. You mm-hmm. want a president with an amount of kind of weight, some kind of, you know, a sense of righteous justice, maybe that kind of Dave sense of like a glad hand, a good heart that's reaching out to the country. And Jack Nicholson, I think, almost has none of those things.
I love Jack Nicholson, but yeah, he's doesn't have that. He's like an alien or something, really. I mean, he feels like such a celebrity, I would find it hard to see him connecting to the common man.
Yes, absolutely. But he's really great in this film. I think this is like an undersung Tim Burton film. It's quite... I think at the time people were maybe expecting it to be a certain thing, and then now looking back at it, it's a really great, funny, pastiche sort of spoof of 1950s invasion films, and at the same time a really good, you know, I think it shakes off a lot of the sentimental ideas that we have about what a president should be and how a country would interact with another country should that kind of conflict come about.
So his character's President James Dale. He also plays, Jack Nicholson also plays the role of a sleazy sort of Vegas tycoon character in the film. Is that making a comment on the US presidency?
maybe there's a bit of foresight there, but it could be. Because I think definitely Jack Nicholson, you think of him as a sleazy Vegas tycoon before you think of him as the president. But he's fantastic in the role, and it really, it uses him to his best. He kind of doesn't have that giant Jack Nicholson screaming moment that we think of from certain films. Yep. He's playing much more like a lower status character. He's really put upon. He's continually trying to negotiate with these aliens who have zero interest in a peaceful connection with Earth. And it's a really great role.
Okay, what do you reckon? Are we going to impeach President James Dale from Mars Attacks?
He is completely ineffectual, but... nothing that he does. Maybe there's a misdemeanor in there, but no high crimes.
Yeah, you can't impeach a president just for being not a very good president.
No, otherwise, you know, every second
most of
president.
Them, yeah. Okay, so President James Dale, Jack Nicholson from the film Mars Attacks, the 1996 American comic science fiction film, remains in the presidency. Turning now to one of the more beloved presidents from film, Morgan Freeman, Deep Impact, 1988, President Tom Beck. What do you remember about him?
I think, look, I actually remember this being a big deal that a person of color, an African-American, was playing the president at this point. And then at the same time, it felt inevitable that Morgan Freeman should play the president. Correct my timeline. I think he was yet to play God, but we still had this idea based almost solely on his voice and the kind of resonance that it carries that he should be in higher office, whether that meant, you know, the higher office in the land or the higher office above that.
And I don't think there's much to impeach Tom Beck for. He was, in the film Deep Impact, he's just absolutely keeps the country together through a terrifying time of apocalypse.
Yeah, it is tough to know what you could do better when an asteroid is hurtling towards your country and indeed Earth. I think it's a tough one to plan for, and it's a tough one to do too much more than just kind of have that steadfast, resolute, attitude that we're all doing the best that we can. And Morgan Freeman pulls that off with aplomb.
All right. And what about, going back to heroic presidents from fictional films, Independence Day, Bill Pullman's character?
Oh, this is great. So in 1996, Independence Day comes out. He plays a president called Thomas J. Whitmore. And I think this is a tricky one if we're talking about impeachment. This is Bill Pullman's character. He telepathically communicates with aliens after a psychic attack. So he's got, I don't know, some kind of connection to the enemy. And I wonder whether that would be used against him if there was kind of like an opposition party who were, you know, what side are you really on?
So this is a bit like Hillary or Trump's connection to the Russians, but absolutely played out across the universe.
Yes. He then leads a squadron of volunteer fighter pilots kind of fighting off against the aliens, which... it's a tricky one. Is he putting civilians in harm's way, or are those people chosen to kind of take that path with him?
Well, that's an interesting point. I remember when I saw the film, and I haven't seen it since I was a kid. He certainly seemed like he was on the up and up for me, straight and narrow.
Well, I mean, one of the things I think that helps pull that off is that I know Bill Pullman did quite a lot of research to play this president.
Really? What kind of research?
Well, I was reading that he read Bob Woodward's book, The Commanders. Which I don't know how that helped him out, but there's not a lot of kind of back scene, in the Oval Office, White House sort of walk and talks. It's not the view into the West Wing that we know from other TV shows. Sure. Yet he felt that was like really important. He also watched The War Room, which is the documentary about Bill Clinton's campaign to become president. And I guess maybe tried to imbue Thomas J. Whitmore, that very famous fictional president, with some of the, I don't know, clarity, the clout, the maybe that good folksy energy that Bill Clinton had.
Okay, now one thing we should notice about all these fictional presidents we're talking about is that very much like the real presidency, they're all men.
Absolutely.
In films, they tend to cast men as the president much more than they cast women. But there have been a couple of memorable women presidents in television and film.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of Gina Davis in Commander in Chief, which was a television show that was kind of almost the Republican answer to The West Wing.
I have to admit to have not watched a lot of it. I'm a big fan of Gina Davis, and yet I missed this one on the screen.
And the other one, of course, is, well, Claire Underwood from House of Cards, when Kevin Spacey, who we mentioned before, unfortunately, for terrible reasons, had to leave the show, her character came to the fore. What did it say about a female president?
Look, I think there is nothing in that show which you should take away to decide whether or not a woman who can obviously do a fantastic job being president. I do think that Robin Wright is a fantastic actor, and yeah, it's a really great role for her. So, look, what we can take away is that really good actors can do stuff with scripts that they get handed at the last minute, because a whole TV show had to be rewritten after some guy left the cast.
Yes, but it is interesting that cinema is, you know, not much better than the actual US political system in electing women, but marginally better, we might say.
Marginally, sure.
All right, now we're going to turn now to real presidents, portrayals of real presidents in film. Now, I was talking to you just before, Matt, and you reckoned if I threw some actors at you and a little quiz, you'd have a pretty good chance of naming which president they'd portrayed in film.
Yeah, this has always been kind of something that I really enjoy in films, is seeing which people pop up to play them. And then you get to play that game of comparing them, like who do you think does the best Kennedy? Who do you think does the best Nixon? Okay. Which is something that I don't mind busying myself with when, you know, stuck in traffic or whatever. So, yeah, I think I've got a good handle on who's played who in the Hollywood archives.
All right, let's have a go. And if you want to take part in this little mini quiz, this isn't our big pop quiz from later. You're not going to miss out on that. But 0467 922 702 is the number to call. Okay. Bill Murray. Which president did Bill Murray play?
Bill Murray played... I'm actually struggling... No. He played FDR in a film called, I think, is it Hudson on the Park? Hyde Park on Hudson.
That's correct. Bill Murray portrayed FDR in Hyde Park on Hudson. Matt Roden, one for one. Let's see how you go next. Robin Williams.
Robin Williams in a film which has many, many, many presidents, mm-hmm, I believe played Truman in The Butler.
Ron Williams played Eisenhower in The Butler.
He went Ike.
The right film. He also played Theodore Roosevelt in the Night at the Museum trilogy.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Okay, you got me on that.
Okay. Bryan Cranston.
Ooh, I have this one. Bryan Cranston reprising his theatrical role as Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Very good. Okay. Sam Rockwell.
Oh, that's a really recent one. Sam Rockwell playing George W. Bush in the film Vice.
It's pretty impressive stuff.
Thank you very much.
Jeff Daniels.
Okay, this is a good one because it stumps me. Jeff Daniels. I don't know. Who did Jeff Daniels play?
Jeff Daniels played George Washington in The Crossing. There you go. Well, I'm 80%.
Okay.
80% correct.
I think I'm better with my more recent than my older presidents.
Fair enough. And the other one I didn't mention, but we were talking about Kevin Kline earlier playing Dave, and I prefer to remember him for his fantastic portrayal of President Ulysses S. Grant in the film Wild Wild West.
It has been a while since I've seen that, and I guess I never put the connection together that in that movie, which had, you know, rapping cowboys and giant mechanical spiders, Kevin Kline's character would one day go on to become a president of the United States.
He did indeed. All right, let's talk about some of these real portrayals of presidents. Starting now, let's start with Richard Nixon. He's someone who has been portrayed a lot in film, a lot recently in film. Who do you think, Matt, portrayed the best Richard Nixon in film?
Okay, so I think Nixon is in film a lot because it's a person who is under a great amount of stress, you know, stress that he brought about on himself, but it's a scandalous presidency. It's one where we can really, you know, see the cogs turning inside one. It's someone that's been turned into almost like a Shakespearean type character. So you've got the classic film Nixon, which is Anthony Hopkins. I think there's a lot of good stuff going on there. I think he maybe overplays it in elements. You've also got like a real curveball. If you thought that Anthony Hopkins was interesting, being he's Welsh, right?
Yes, from Port Talbot in Wales.
Oh, thank you for the extra information. But, you know, someone who we think of as maybe like theatrically trained, coming in and playing this very American president.
You'd never think, I would have never thought to cast Anthony Hopkins as Nixon.
I think an even bigger curveball is to take kind of the 90s, early aughts indie rom-com favorite John Cusack.
Right, yes.
And put him into the role of the sweaty, jowled, muttering, cursing President Nixon.
So he played, Cusack plays Nixon in the film The Butler, which, as you mentioned before, there's a lot of presidents in. But one of the weird things about Cusack's performance is there's no makeup, there's no prosthetics. He's just John Cusack, and he doesn't look anything like Richard Nixon.
No, it was a really interesting choice. That film has Forrest Whitaker playing a butler who works in the White House through many, many, many presidencies. He's there for like multiple decades. And it means that you've almost got this cavalcade of actors popping up in these cameos. Everyone from Robin Williams to John Cusack to Liev Schreiber to James Marsden. It's a real like everybody gets a chance to trot out and do their thing.
Yeah, Alan Rickman plays Ronald Reagan in that film.
Yeah, I like that one too, though.
We're going to hear a little bit of Anthony Hopkins, the great Welsh actor, as Richard Nixon now from the 1995 film Nixon.
Congress is considering 4 articles of impeachment.
Yeah. For what?
They're very serious charges, sir. Huh? First, abuse of power.
Yeah.
Second, the obstruction of justice.
Yeah, what else?
Third, the failure to cooperate with the Congress.
Yeah.
And last, bombing Cambodia, sir.
They can't impeach me for bombing Cambodia. The president can bomb anybody he likes.
That's true. Well, we'll win that one, sir, but the other three...
Hey, you know, Fred, they sell tickets.
It's wrong.
They sell tickets to an impeachment like a damn circus.
Prophetic kind of moment, but I just think it just sounds like Anthony Hopkins. It doesn't sound like Richard Nixon.
Yeah, considering how kind of recognizable a voice he has, that kind of like, you know, I feel like I can do a closer Nixon than Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, go on.
I just did.
Okay, it was perfect.
Thank you.
We did have Kyle call in. He wanted to mention that I earlier said that Robin Williams had played Theodore Roosevelt in the Night at the Museum trilogy, and Kyle wanted to clarify that Robin Williams plays a statue that comes alive who thinks he's Theodore Roosevelt.
Yeah, you got to watch out. There's a lot of musies out there, real fans of Night at the Museum, and they're going to pick you up when you make mistakes.
All right, thank you, Kyle. I do appreciate the clarification. The other big Nixon film of recent years was Frost Nixon, with Frank Langella playing Nixon. This is a film about the infamous David Frost Nixon interviews, which is after Nixon left office. And Frank Langella in that film...
Who we heard just before in Dave, actually. In Dave. It's interesting how many actors kind of circle around that presidential bit.
And once again, in this film, a bit like Hopkins, he's not doing an impression, really, of Nixon, I don't think. It's not like someone texted him before saying these are, you know, a lot of people do parodies.
Mm.
But some actors, when they play a president, try and get it, you know, exactly right. The voice right, the walk right. They have, you know, fake noses or fake wigs to look exactly like the person. But
they don't all have that skill that I have to just recall the voice like I did previously.
Exactly. Have a listen to Frank Langella here, because it's not capturing Nixon's voice, really, but it's sort of capturing Nixon's energy.
Mr. President, now you've always maintained that you knew nothing about any of this until March 21st. But in February, your personal lawyer came to Washington to start the raising of $219,000 of hush money to be paid to the burglars. Now, do you seriously expect us to believe that you had no knowledge of that?
None. I believe the money was for humanitarian purposes, to help disadvantaged people with their defenses.
Well, it was being delivered on the tops of phone booths with aliases, and at airports by people with gloves on. That's not normally the way lawyers' fees are delivered.
Look, I have made statements to this effect before. All that was Haldeman and Ehrlichman's business. I knew nothing. Okay, fine. Fine. You made a conclusion there. I stated my view. Now let's move on.
Frank Langella playing Nixon in Frost Nixon there. Do you think anyone in any of these films we're talking about has captured the perfect Nixon?
I don't know. I guess it depends what you consider a perfect Nixon. If you want somebody who has that kind of like defensive sweatiness, then Frank there doing a fantastic job. I guess if you want to go for more that kind of lathered up in makeup look, Anthony Hopkins is more of a way to go.
Now, in many ways...
Can I also just point out there, because my brain wants to connect all of the dots possible.
Okay.
Michael Sheen in there playing Frost.
Yeah.
Who also played Tony Blair in A Special Relationship, which was a HBO film about the relationship between Britain and US politics, in which Dennis Quaid played Bill Clinton.
There you go. Wheels within wheels. Matt Roden joining the presidential universe in film for us.
Mm, thank you.
Now, I was going to say that someone like Nixon, because he's a figure from the presidency who is reviled by a lot of people because of the, you know, what he did in office, because of Watergate, because he had to resign in disgrace, it's kind of easier, I think, to do a portrayal of him without upsetting people, because there's a lot of people who want to see Nixon on trial, want to see a performance where he's portrayed as a villain. But what about when we turn to a president who is kind of the opposite, who's kind of been deified? I'm talking about John F. Kennedy, who gets portrayed in movies a lot. What's the kind of way we tend to see Kennedy on film?
Look, to be honest, a lot of the way we see him is like a Ken doll who, you know, a handsome, shiny figure who gets manipulated to be off screen as quickly as possible because people want to play with other figures.
Is that an unfair portrayal of John F. Kennedy?
Look, I'm not a presidential scholar. I'm only a scholar of a very shallow understanding of presidents as portrayed in films. But I do think that it is interesting that you have this president who is kind of mythologized for a lot of reasons. He was the first of a new generation. He was kind of coming from a different part of the country. He was a Catholic, which was a very big deal at the time. And because his presidency was ended so quickly in such a horrific way, his assassination, of course, being like one of America's most famous and kind of modern day founding incidents about how they define themselves, it makes sense that he would come to stand for so many different things rather than maybe being portrayed as the person that he was.
Now, one of the most famous portrayals, or one of the most famous films about Kennedy is the film 13 Days. That's a film about the Cuban Missile Crisis. Kevin Costner's in it. But Bruce Greenwood is the actor who plays Kennedy in that film. And this is a film where I think the actor tried really, really hard to get a kind of pitch-perfect portrayal of the president.
You know, last summer I read a book, The Guns of August. Mm. I wish every man on that blockade line read that book. It's World War I. It's 13 million killed. It was all because the militaries of both alliances believed they were so highly attuned to one another's movements and dispositions, they could predict one another's intentions. But all their theories were based on the last war. And the world and technology had changed, and those lessons were no longer valid. But it was all they knew, so the orders went out. Couldn't be rescinded. And your man in the field, his family at home, they couldn't even tell you the reasons why their lives are being destroyed.
Bruce Greenwood there as John F. Kennedy in 13 Days. What are some of your favourite Kennedys?
Ooh, I think it's an interesting one because Kennedy, like I said, is kind of that Ken doll figure. So you've got James Marsden, who people might know better as he plays like Cyclops in some of the X-Men films. He's on Westworld. He's a very classic Hollywood matinee idol sort of look. So he plays Kennedy in The Butler, and he's just there to be like a handsome guy. At the same time, like Rob Lowe has had a go, Greg Kinnear has had a go. These guys are kind of often handsome, shallow kind of figures in films. I'm not saying that the actors themselves are that, but that's how they're used.
Yeah, actors who get cast as in romantic comedies or as the kind of dumb boyfriend or those kind of roles are getting cast as JFK.
Yeah, I think it is that just that we think of him as the most handsome of American presidents. So finally, casting directors get to just pull the most handsome person and stick them in the film.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought James K. Polk was the most handsome president, but I guess people go
Young
to JFK.
Hickory himself.
But we've got a the other thing about Kennedy, though, is because of the tragic circumstances in which he died, he tends to get, as you say, he gets portrayed as handsome, he gets portrayed positively. But The Crown, which is the Netflix show about the royal family, featured an episode which had Kennedy in it, which was a really, well, quite a negative portrayal of Kennedy. So in that show, the episode's about the Kennedy visit to the UK, and Michael C. Hall from Dexter plays Kennedy. And in the show, he's presented as being really jealous of Jackie to the point where he's actually somewhat abusive with Jackie behind the scenes because he thinks that he's being outshone by her on the world stage. And it made me think that it's probably true that Americans maybe take 50 years or 60 years before they can present a president like JFK in that kind of way. It took them a long time before they were willing to go the non-heroic JFK.
Yeah, I guess it takes, it is because it was that kind of tragedy. I think everybody at that time, or certainly from what I've read and understood, mourned alongside the first lady at the time. And I can understand because of everything that JFK did stand for, like I said, that new generation, this kind of big push in democratic politics towards like a slightly more equal way of understanding things, you almost want that martyr figure to stand for something which they can't ever possibly do. And it is interesting that it has been such a heroic portrayal in films without people dipping into it, because the Kennedys as we understand them now have a lot of scandal themselves. Maybe not the political scandal that, say, Nixon had, but the kind of tawdry scandal of running around with the Rat Pack and a lot of, you know, sex and drugs and rock and roll. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Now, the man who came after JFK, LBJ, at the time, Johnson was something of a contrast to Kennedy. You know, you had this Eastern Seaboard, Massachusetts kind of educated, elite kind of character in Kennedy. And then we went to this Texan who grew up in poverty, who had a Southern drawl. He was seen as brash. So you get a very different kind of actor playing LBJ in film. Who are some of the ones who've played him?
Well, it's a really interesting mix. You've got Brits like Tom Wilkinson, who's a fantastic actor. He plays him in Selma, dealing with his negotiations during the civil rights movement. You've got someone like John Carroll, who plays him in the Jackie film. John Carroll Lynch, who's probably most famous for playing the Zodiac Killer. So an interesting shift for him.
The husband in Fargo who, you know, I gotta have a breakfast, I'll fix you some eggs.
Yeah, that's a real... It's a good amount of different types of roles for him, from the supportive husband to LBJ to the Zodiac Killer. And then more recently, we've got, like we said, Bryan Cranston. So you've got Walter White stepping into the shoes of this president. And then also someone who I think has done a couple of these kind of political biopics recently, but Woody Harrelson trying to take on the role.
Yeah, now Woody Harrelson's performance, or at least the film that Woody Harrelson was in about LBJ, got some absolutely terrible reviews.
Yeah, it came and went very quickly.
But he does seem like a good choice to play him. He's got that kind of beefiness that I think that LBJ has.
Yeah, it might be not how he describes the kind of weight and heft he brings to the role, but yeah, he does have that. And he's also got that kind of like that Southern vibe that we definitely associate with LBJ.
Yeah, and then in the Crown, the same show that had the negative portrayal of JFK, also had a somewhat negative portrayal of LBJ in the most recent series. Clancy Brown played LBJ and really played him as a boorish, brash kind of president. He was obsessed with outdoing Kennedy, and he was into smut, and he was a drinker, and he was kind of flouted the rules. And actually, that's not really fair on LBJ, who actually was an incredibly smart manipulator, an incredibly smart operator, who was always in control of the situations and, you know, would only drink if it was to help him politically and otherwise was very much in control. But it's sort of an easy thing in cinema to go, JFK is the fancy one, LBJ is the Southern idiot.
Yeah, and look, I'm not keeping up with The Crown in the same way that I know a lot of people are, but I do feel that for all the nuance it might bring to the British royal family, it takes some big wide swings when it comes to politics outside of Britain.
Okay, we're getting closer to the modern era now, and films about more recent presidents are fewer and farther between. It takes a while before people's feelings about a president are settled enough to make a film, but there are some films made about recent history. There's been a couple of films in which George W. Bush has been portrayed.
Yeah, famously Oliver Stone made the film W, which came out very soon after his presidency. Oliver Stone, who also made Nixon, someone who we think of as always kind of cataloguing and looking back at American history kind of through a very short lens. He's really up close with what he wants to dissect on the screen. And he was played there by Josh Brolin, which... For the time, Josh Brolin wasn't known as the big action star that he might be now. He recently played Thanos in the Avengers films. Back then, more of a dramatic actor, but for that role kind of went very comedic. I think coming off the back of Will Ferrell being very famous for his portrayal of George W. Bush, it's not too many steps along for this only slightly more dramatic version in W.
Which is an odd choice so soon, because I think at the end of the Bush presidency, you know, obviously the war in Iraq was still going, a lot of the impacts of the Bush presidency were still there. People's feelings about him were complicated, and those who weren't supporters of his would have had very raw feelings. So then to have this, as you say, clownish, almost silly film, it wasn't a silly film, it was a drama, but the portrayal was quite comical.
It definitely portrays him as a buffoon, yeah. And I think a lot of that says something to do with Oliver Stone's politics. But maybe as we get further along, as these presidents are kind of more recent, we look at presidents who have had much more media scrutiny at the same time as they're actually having their presidency take place. So George W. Bush is kind of one of the first like real internet presidents where everything he said was dissected daily. We had a lot more time to kind of pick apart every slippage of the tongue. everything that he got wrong. And so, you know, he wasn't a kind of a well-spoken person who could handle that scrutiny. So it was very easy for people to, you know, portray him as a clown.
We mentioned before as well, Sam Rockwell playing him in the film Vice, which was once again a very accurate portrayal, but also a very damning portrayal.
Yeah, I admit to have not seen Vice. I've only seen the trailer. The whole trailer he does with like a mouthful of ribs and a face covered in barbecue sauce. And there's not a lot of that which kind of has the presidential dignity.
It certainly shows in the film. It presents Bush as being completely under the thumb of Vice President Dick Cheney, who is the subject matter of the film. And it suggests that Bush kind of went into the presidency almost in a working agreement with Dick Cheney that he was happy for Cheney to basically make all the decisions for him, which is not something that a president would usually do, allow his vice president to do. Normally it's the opposite. The vice president doesn't get to do anything.
Yeah, I think that's the way that we think of the vice president, that they're kind of this also-ran who, you know, balances the ticket, gives them a better photo op in the way that, you know, maybe we think about President Obama taking on Joe Biden to kind of balance out his youth and the fact that there are portions of America who really struggle with a person of color being president. And they needed that security there. But yeah, that we do tend to think of that mix being flipped when it comes to Dick Cheney and George W. Bush. And certainly that film doubles down on that story.
And then that brings us to the most recent president before the current one, Barack Obama, who was in a film called Southside with You. He was played by an actor called Parker Sawyers. And it was a film about young Barack Obama meeting young Michelle Obama, and it was a very hopeful, romantic film. It didn't get to the Obama presidency. I don't know if you saw it. It was a bit of a direct-to-video Hallmark-style film.
Look, I think it's very... It's interesting because, I mean, that's a couple which outside the presidency itself, I think a lot of people would just hold up as, you know, an institution, as something that was admirable. That's like a marriage where we would really aspire to have that kind of balance and mutual respect. So, look, sure, make a rom-com out of it. I get it.
Now, have you got a favorite portrayal of a US president from film?
It's such a big question. I am a diehard West Wing fan for all its, you know, faults. I think it's a really fantastic TV show. So I can't not say Martin Sheen as Jed Bartlett in that. I also really like Jimmy Smits, who comes in right at the end and gives us this next president who we don't really get to see him running the show as Matt Santos. But it's kind of fascinating if you dig into the story around how that was inspired by Barack Obama before he even ran for president himself.
Yeah, they sort of saw Barack Obama when he was a senator and thought, oh, wouldn't it be an interesting dramatic arc if that guy ran for president?
I think they asked a lot of political operatives, particularly in the Democratic Party, and said, what is the next generation going to look like? And people had already earmarked Obama as being that next gen.
Well, the final suggestions come in about who could play Donald Trump in a potential Donald Trump biopic. Jim Carrey.
Yeah, sure. Look, I think a lot of these go down a very comedic route, and I think it's hard not to think of that when it comes to, you know, Donald Trump as we know him. He's infinitely kind of someone that you can parody because he parodies himself all the time. So Mike Myers, Jim Carrey, I like all the comedians. I sometimes think we needed a dramatic actor. Someone like John Voight has a really great...
Yeah.
He's the right age, he's the right look, he has the kind of right feel to him. He is a very staunch Republican himself. So, you know, I wonder whether he could do a critical film about the Trump presidency.
I think when they finally do make the Trump presidency film, it will be so hard to make an even keel because, you know, politics have never been so polarized as they are now. And Trump is a figure where there's just, you know, half the country, he can do no wrong, half the country, he can do no right. And to make a film going through that is going to be a near impossible task. I don't know who would be the director, who would be the writer, but I just can't imagine it happening any point in the next decade.
I mean, you almost have to commission the two films at the exact same time with the directors who have the same, you know, the opposite viewpoints. One can star John Voight, staunch Republican, big Trump supporter. The other can, you know, Alec Baldwin can do that one, who's a very adamant kind of opposition to what the president currently stands for, and kind of let them battle out. Maybe that's how we decide, you know, how it all turns out in the end, just on the box office alone.
Matt Roden, thank you for joining us on Nightlife to discuss portrayals of US presidents in film.
Thank you so much for having me.
My name is Mark Sutton. Here's The Boss with Nothing Man. Thanks, Matt.